Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So do you know the name Essena O'Neill? Anyone? By the time Essena, a native of Australia, was 18, she had more than 200,000 followers on YouTube and 500,000 followers on Instagram. And then she quit. She vacated the social media spaces that had made her a star, explaining why in a final Instagram post. Now, I'll return to Essena in a few moments, but first I want to dive into the parable Jesus tells in today's reading from Luke. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the parable begins, and then it ends just a few verses later by concluding, and one went back down to his home, justified. In between is a story that most of us find pretty straightforward. One of the two men is pretty confident about himself. He is a Pharisee, one who has devoted his life to his faith and to his synagogue. His prayer, we know both immediately and intuitively, should not be our prayer. Dear God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. It seems rather haughty, even arrogant, and more than a tad self-righteous. Now, the tax collector he refers to is also in the temple praying, but he stands at a distance from the Pharisee, away from the center of the temple where most people gather. His prayer is quite different. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the one, Jesus says, who returned home justified. And there you have it. The moral of the story, don't be proud or arrogant like that Pharisee, but instead humble like the tax collector. Easy peasy. Except that the Pharisee is right. He's not like other people. He is not a thief or a troublemaker or an adulterer. He's definitely not like that tax collector, someone who worked for the Romans, actually collecting taxes from his fellow Jews that helped pay for the Roman army's occupation of Israel. In fact, when the Pharisee goes on, we realize he's not just right, he's also righteous. I fast twice a week, he prays, and I give away a tenth of my income. I would not mind having this Pharisee and his friends as members of Mount Olivet. To be righteous, according to the Bible, you see, is to live your life in accord with the law of Israel. The better you are at keeping the law, the more righteous you are. Now, we don't use the word righteous all that much in everyday speech anymore, but we could easily translate it as successful. If you are good at investment banking, you are righteous according to the standards of Wall Street. If you're popular at school, then we might say you are socially righteous. And tomorrow evening, many of us will watch two teams face off in the NCAA basketball championship, each of them quite righteous on the court. In the Pharisee's case, he is successful at keeping the law of Israel. So the Pharisee is both right, he is not like most other people, and righteous. He has been very successful at living his faith. But he is not, Jesus says, justified. The tax collector, on the other hand, is pretty much the opposite. He is a failure at keeping the law. He has pretty much nothing to boast about in his life. No one looks at him as a success, and no one would call him righteous. Far from it, most of his neighbors, the people he makes his living from, probably despise him. And he knows this, and so he stands at the farthest edge of the temple and won't even lift his eyes toward heaven when he prays, but simply asks for mercy. This is the one, Jesus says, who is justified. Why? Because while righteousness is about what we accomplish, about our success, to be justified is simply to be called or counted righteous, no matter what we have done, simply because it is God who calls us that. An example from our everyday lives may help make this more clear. When our children, children of almost all the parents here, disobey them, are unkind to each other, or get in trouble at school, they are not being successful or righteous, and I'll wager they are still beloved, still our children, still the most important people in the world to all those blessed to have them. They may not in those moments have been acting in lovable ways, and yet we love them and call them beloved anyway. And so in this parable, the Pharisee leads a blameless life, and for this reason, he is righteous. The tax collector does not lead a blameless life, but asks God for mercy. He asks God, that is, to look at him and judge him not based on what he has done, but rather to look at him and to judge him based on who God is, compassionate, loving, merciful. And this is actually what makes this parable kind of tricky. Because when you read it in the straightforward way, don't be self-righteous like the Pharisee, but instead be humble like the tax collector, well, it's hard for us not to end up praying, "Dear God, we thank you that we are not like other people, hypocrites, overly pious, self-righteous, or even like that Pharisee. We come to church each week, listen attentively to the sermon, have pledged to the Capital Campaign, and we have learned that we should always be humble." Boom. We may be righteous, but we are not justified. And that gets to the very heart of this parable. Righteousness, success, is never enough. Why? Because it's based on our abilities and our accomplishments, and we will eventually fall short. Even more, it is based on comparisons. Notice, righteousness and success are always measured relative to how the people around us are doing. The Pharisee can't escape this, and neither can we. Which brings me back to Asena. 200,000 followers on YouTube and 500,000 on Instagram. She was in every possible way successful, even righteous, across multiple social media platforms. And yet, as she described, it was not enough, precisely because it was based on comparisons. Without realizing it, she wrote in a final Instagram post, "I've spent the majority of my teenage life being addicted to social media, social approval, social status, and my physical appearance. Social media," she continues, "especially how I use it, isn't real. It's contrived images and edited clips, always ranked against each other. It's a system based on social approval, likes, validation and views, success and followers. It's a perfectly orchestrated, self-absorbed judgment." Success, righteousness, Asena discovered, precisely because it's based solely on what we can achieve and has its roots in comparing ourselves to others, is never enough. Or if Asena O'Neill's testimony isn't enough, how about Aaron Rodgers? Now look, I know this can be a tough example for diehard Vikings fans to hear, but I will argue that the numbers Rodgers puts up year after year as quarterback of the Green Bay Packers are hard to ignore. So, a few years ago, Aaron Rodgers shared how just a mere 2 hours after winning Super Bowl 45 and being named the most valuable player of that game, he felt strangely empty, which is kind of stunning. As he said, he'd just accomplished everything he'd ever wanted to accomplish in his life since he was a kid. And all he could think was, "Is this all there is to life?" Success, righteousness, is never enough because no matter how much we accomplish, no matter how successful or righteous we are, there's always more. Always more we could have done, always someone who's done more or will do more. And so there's always this nagging sense of doubt, at times debilitating. How do we know? How do we know that we're good enough, rich enough, successful enough, pretty enough, popular enough, smart enough, righteous enough? Which means that the secret to being a Christian, and maybe to being a person, is not to strive to be either righteous or humble, successful or a failure, rich or poor, not anything actually that we can measure on a scale and compare, but instead simply to receive God's love and acceptance. The secret of being a Christian and maybe to being a person is simply to recognize that we are always in need. No matter what you've done or not done, all of us have needs. And the minute you recognize them, you can ask God to meet them. Giving up the hope of creating the perfect life, giving up the penchant to compare ourselves to others, and instead just receive God's love and acceptance like a child receives the love of her parents. Because when you do that, when you recognize your need, you discover that God has already called you righteous and holy and beloved and perfect. God, that is, has already justified you. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one went home justified because he recognized his need. 2 and 40 may be singing in the choir today. How many will go home justified? 202 may have already contributed to the Finish Strong Capital campaign. How many will be justified? 602 may come to worship at our beautiful West Campus this morning. How many of us will go home justified? The answer, it turns out, is pretty easy. All of us who recognize our need, all of us who look to God, all of us, in the end, who God loves and accepts and calls us righteous and worthy and successful, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are, God's own beloved children, and because of who God is, loving, gracious, and unfailingly merciful. Thanks be to God. Amen.